This is Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Everything you need to know about the six-time NLL champions, Toronto Rock. Now, here's your host, Mike Hancock.
Well, the offense comes to life and scores 17 goals, but at the other end, the Rock allowed 20 goals in a 2017 loss to the Georgia Swarm last weekend, dropping the Rock to 0-5 for the first time in franchise history. Now, earlier in the week, Rock owner, president, and GM Jamie Dowick elected to relieve defensive coach Dan Latissure of his duties as the dominoes begin to fall. And also, we got the news Tuesday night, Josh Sanderson could perhaps be back in the mix. So there's a lot to talk about on this week's episode of Toronto Rock Total Access. We'll have a little fun as usual with Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction with his weekly bet slip selections. Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IsleIndoor.com will be here to chat about the Rock and more. Rock goaltender Brandon Miller will stop in and we'll also chat, of course, with the head coach of the Toronto Rock, John Lovell. But starting things off, we'll go right to the source and talk to the Rock owner, president, and general manager, Jamie Dowick, as we welcome him to the show. Hello, Jamie. How are you doing today?
I've been better, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Obviously, it's been a very difficult week for some reasons, and then there's been some good news as well that's come down the pipe in the last 24 hours, we'll say. But let's start off with the first news of the week, and that is the firing of Rock assistant coach Dan Latissure. I guess just to start things off, how and why did you come to this decision?
Well, I mean, to be honest, a tough thing to do. Never an easy thing to do. You know, one of the crappy parts of the job, it was just a decision, without getting into it too much, it was just a decision I felt needed to be made. And, unfortunately, when things aren't going well, there's changes. And I've said many times, I don't pin this on Dan by any means, but, changes are had to be made and are being made and continue to be made because, 0-5 is unacceptable. And, we're trying to right the ship. So tough to say goodbye to Laddie. I'm very fond of him. I got to know him pretty well over the last couple of years. And never easy to say goodbye to someone.
Now, this is obviously the first time mid-season that there's been a coaching shake-up of any kind, really, with the Rock organization. You mentioned it personally, but going through this, how difficult has it been kind of for everybody around the team and whatnot going through something like this at this time of year?
Yeah, it's tough. I know the players feel, I'm sure they feel somewhat responsible for it, There's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of emotions going on when you're not winning and frustration starts to set in and people start losing jobs and unfortunately that's all part of the game and winning seems to do good things and when you lose, things don't go that way. So, part of the business that, like I said earlier, not the fun part. It hasn't been a fun week for me, by any means, some roster moves as well. So, but it's what I signed up for and part of the job.
Now, before we leave the coaching discussion, has there been a decision on a replacement or a timeline in place? Obviously, with the team having a bye week, it gives you a little bit more of a breather here. But, you've got another capable guy like Matt Sawyer, who's got assistant and head coaching experience in this league. But any decision on a replacement or the plan, timeline, all that stuff going forward here?
Well, nothing's been set in stone yet. I mean, the reality is Matt Sawyer, in my opinion, and I know Coach JL's opinion, is a guy that's more than capable of being on the bench. While Matt's primarily been an offensive coach, he's been a head coach, and him and JL have worked together a long time. The reality is the most sense probably going forward will be for Matty to join those guys on the bench. And John, I know, is going to work very closely with the defense. And, we're just kind of going through it's more complicated than just that. Matty's obviously got a job and a family and things like this. So we're just going through some stuff. I don't think it makes sense to bring someone in from the outside right now. So that's probably the plan we're going. And when I got something concrete, I'll make an announcement about it.
Now, as far as maybe some news on the good news side of the ledger here, Josh Sanderson returns, practices Tuesday night with the team, placed on the active roster evaluation period list, which will allow him to practice with the team a couple of times before making a decision officially, I guess, whether or not he's ready and able to play in a game. Just tell us again, how did this go down, and just your reaction, I guess, when this all started to fall into place for you?
Well, when Josh came to me just before the season and told me what his plans were, you know, we had a long conversation, and I basically told Josh, listen, if you change your mind and you feel like you're ready to go, you know, I've always got a spot for you. But I told him I wasn't going to bother him about it. I wasn't going to call him every week begging him to come back. He had to know that, you know, he was wanted, and if he was ready to go, we would welcome him back with open arms. But I was going to leave it in his hands, and you know, he was going to have to call me and tell me that, you know, and I got that call this week. So I didn't know what was going to happen, to be honest with you. You know, I did think there was a very good chance we had seen the last of Josh, and you know, it's you know, Josh isn't going to be expected to come in here and save the world, but he'll be a welcome addition on the floor and in the room for sure.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. Jamie, obviously with Josh coming back and a few guys eligible to come off the IR prior to the February 14th game in New England, there's going to be some roster shuffling going on. Any updates so far as to what's happened? I guess a move earlier today with Glenn Bryan being released and Jamie Batson being moved to the active roster. But how many moves potentially, I guess, are we going to see here prior to that February 14th game?
Well, there's still definitely a couple more to happen. I would think, unfortunately, I did have to release Glenn Bryan last night. You know, we have a lot of guys coming back off of injury, and unfortunately, it's just a numbers game, and your roster dictates some moves, and, you know, tough thing to do as well, and much the same as Laddie. You never players, coaches, never easy to tell a guy. Unfortunately, you have to let them go. So that wasn't easy, but I had to do it, and that's been done for the time being. Jamie Batson, who we signed last week, will replace Glennie on the active roster, and we're going to remove his practice player tag. And, you know, we've also removed the practice player tag off Brad Crease. So I definitely have a few more moves to make. You know, Josh got one more practice. Yeah, they're going to have to find a spot for him. So there's a few more things to come for sure.
Well, it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you here over the next week or so here leading up to that game on February the 14th in New England. But let's chat about some of the action on the floor last Friday night, the loss to the Georgia Swarm. An absolute roller coaster of a game, really. And as things were unfolding, I'm sure there was probably various points in the game where either you thought, okay, here we go, this is the team I know, or, uh-oh, you know, oh no, here we go again. You know, how was that game emotionally for you watching it?
Well, you're bang on there. I mean, you know, it's been obviously a miserable start to the season. You know, the first four games, while I didn't think our defense played great and had breakdowns and stuff like that, I mean, the reality is, they gave up a number that we should be able to win with, and we didn't. Our offense really struggled. So, you know, to come back in that game and finally see the offense get going, which I believe in. I mean, they got guys coming back from injuries and some new guys in there, and they're just finding their spot. It's pretty heartbreaking to score 17 goals and not get a win. Giving up 20 goals makes me sick. It just shouldn't happen. I'd like to see that number cut in half. So, yeah, there was a ton of emotion in that game for sure. A roller coaster of events, kind of summarizes how it's been going so far.
But there, if there's a positive to take, I guess, like you said, the offense scoring 20 goals, but maybe even more importantly, just a little bit of resiliency shown by the team, down by 4 goals going into the fourth quarter and battling back and getting that run there that put the team ahead.
Yeah, I questioned the team after the game in Buffalo. I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like the way we just kind of went down in that game at the end, and that really bothered me. That's not how I expect this team to play or handle themselves. And winning is first and foremost 100%. But you can lose a game and show some heart and show some battle. And you know, one thing I will give the guys in our last game is, we were down 5 and it looked really bad. And yeah, we did battle back. Yeah, we had some power play fortune situations, but we did battle back, and I am proud of that. You know, having said that, we didn't win, and I'm not really looking for moral victories right now. We need a victory in the win column, and that's the bottom line. So, there was things that I'm encouraged about, things I expect to happen, but we need to start putting some wins in the win column immediately.
Now, off the floor, on the ownership side of things and on the business side, we haven't had you on the show since, obviously, the naming of the new commissioner and Nick Sakevich from the National Lacrosse League. Your thoughts on just what he's going to bring to the table and, I guess, perhaps some of the exciting times ahead for NLL fans here.
Well, I'm real excited. I wasn't part of the search committee when we went through the process at the beginning to hire Nick. So I kind of got to meet him later in the game, but I'm very impressed with Nick. Like all the things he's saying, I think the search committee did a great job in finding him, and I'm real excited about what the future holds for this league. And I think Nick was a great hire, and I think he'll do a great job. You know, George will still be around a little bit in some legal capacity and things like that. George is someone that, you know, the only person I've really dealt with since I came in the league, and developed a pretty good relationship and friendship with George, and going to miss him around. And I do want to thank him for everything he did, and I'm sure you'll see him around at Rock games here and there. But I'm very excited about what the future holds for the NLL.
Now, lastly, just to wrap up here on a lighter note, we'll say your Denver Broncos going to the Super Bowl. I believe you're making the trip out west for the big game, but I know you've been to Super Bowls in the past, and I know the game is obviously the big thing that everybody goes to see, but for people who haven't been, what are you looking forward to about the Super Bowl experience that maybe isn't necessarily the game itself, but what else is that one thing that maybe you look forward to that surrounds the game that is fun for you?
Well, it's just a pretty wild atmosphere. It's obviously always in a city that doesn't have a home team advantage, and it's just a wild thing to see the fans from their teams flock there. And then, it is really quite a stage. You see lots of famous people that, like to come out and go to the parties and this and that. So it's quite the game is the game, and obviously that's what it's all about. But the one thing the NFL has done unbelievably well with that is everything leading up to it, whether it be the NFL fan experience, stores, autographs, things for the kids to do. Just they've done such a good job, and they make it a week-long event. So, obviously don't take advantage of the whole time there. I have it over the years, but they really know how to put on probably the biggest sporting event in the world. So it's a lot of fun. This year being the 50th Super Bowl, potentially. Hey, the Sheriff's last game, this is exciting. I'm looking forward to it. California at this time of the year, mind you, it's pretty warm out here today, but I'm looking forward to getting away for a day or two and just kind of, recharging my batteries. And, it's been a busy couple weeks here, and lots of you know, 0-5. Not that we wouldn't be doing the same thing if we were 5-0, but, you know, working around the clock to try and figure out ways to make us better. So it's been a grind. We'll continue to keep grinding. We'll stay positive, and I like to believe we'll find our way out of this mess and sort the right the ship.
All right, Jamie. Well, thanks a lot for joining us here on the show. Enjoy California, and I guess good luck to your Broncos.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk soon.
All right, that was Toronto Rock owner, president, and general manager Jamie Dowick. Coming up in a moment on the show, we'll have Toronto Rock goaltender Brandon Miller. But first, let's not forget that the Rock will be home again in a couple of weeks' time on Friday, February the 19th, against the Buffalo Bandits. It's Rivalry Night, presented by Tim Hortons. Don't delay. Get your tickets now. Plenty of great seats are still available, and you can get your hands on them by going to torontorock.com. Yeah. Toronto Rock goaltender Brandon Miller joins us now on the program. B, how are you doing today?
Well, not bad, Mike. All things considering, I guess, with an 0-5 start, it's been tough, but good practice last night, so not bad, I guess.
Well, let's before we get too far into what's been going on this season, I don't think we've ever taken the opportunity to kind of wind the clock back with you and just talk about how you decided to start playing lacrosse in the first place. Maybe take us back to why you got involved in the game as a little guy, and especially why you decided to be a goaltender.
Yeah, well, to get involved with lacrosse, I started as a player, and it was my dad's idea. He grew up in Inglewood, which is a small town between Brampton and Orangeville, and didn't have a chance to play. But when he came to Orangeville and met the Sanderson clan, he quickly fell in love with it and put myself and my younger brother in it right away. So it's a game that I love. Well, to be honest, actually, I tried a year of T-ball, and he warned me. He was right. After that one season, I went quickly back to playing lacrosse. So it became a love for the whole family, really, and mom included. So goaltending was something a little different. I kind of got we had a full-time goalie who couldn't make a game in a tournament. I think it was in Kitchener. I was probably 8 or 9 at the time. And for some reason, I put my hand up to volunteer to go in, and I remember having a shot trickle through my pads and end up just across the goal line, and I reached back with my hand and pulled it back on the good side, and the referee didn't catch it, while the Kitchener parents in the back were yelling and screaming that it was in, and I pulled one over on the ref, and we ended up winning the game, and I thought that was kind of cool, so... The following year, I split duties with that goaltender, and the year after that, he wanted to play out full-time, and coach asked if I wanted to play net full-time, and from there, I don't think I ever played out again.
So there you go. We can thank that kid who decided to pull a no-show one weekend for having you in a Toronto Rock uniform all these years later. Now, why, you know, when you think about it in Orangeville, things are very tight in that community, especially in the lacrosse community. But, you know, generation after generation with the young guys that come through the Junior A Northman program, it really seems like it's a real brotherhood. But why do things continue to stay so tight there and maybe even seemingly get tighter and tighter with that lacrosse community there?
Yeah, I guess anytime you start something, you know, you hope that one day it becomes a tradition. And really, probably the best way to put you know, what lacrosse has become in Orangeville. It really is a tradition. And, you know, I have the luxury of playing with guys that come from all different types of towns, big and small, and Canada and the U.S. And it definitely is unique whenever I talk to them, the way they grew up and the way I was fortunate enough to grow up in Orangeville. It's truly winter. You know, you play hockey and you have 13 out of those 15 kids are on your lacrosse team too, really. If not 15 for 15, you know, you're with the same kids year round, and the friendships that you bond when you're together for 12 months out of the year, as opposed to if you just played hockey together or just played lacrosse together, it becomes a special tight bond. And you know, most of the kids that I grew up with playing both sports with were all at my wedding and continue to be my friends today. And in fact, that goalie that was a no-show is Chris Kello, still a good friend of mine today. So it's I think that's probably part of it. It's not a question of, you know, what sport are you going to play in the summer. If you're in Orangeville, nine kids out of 10 are picking lacrosse and becoming a Northman, and it becomes a tradition that way.
Wow, so it was Chris Kello, of all people. Yeah. I did not know that. Of course, I know Chris from another walk of life here, of course, but that's a funny story. We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock goaltender Brandon Miller, and B, as we shift focus to things on the floor with the Toronto Rock right now, and obviously, like you mentioned off the top, an 0-5 start, something that has never happened here in Toronto before. But, you know, you look at what's happened this week. Dan Latissure let go as the defensive coach. Josh Sanderson comes back into the mix. Maybe just sum up right now the feeling around the team going into this bye week here, and just how the vibe was at practice on Tuesday night.
It's a different feeling, I think, for everybody. I don't know if anyone in that room has been involved in a team that started off this poorly, and you know, so it's tough, and you know, you don't really have much to draw on because you haven't been through it before. You know, to see Laddie leave is definitely tough. A lot of us, pretty much, I think all of us are taking a lot of responsibility for his departure. And I think that happens a lot in sports when coaches are let go. And it's very unfortunate. And so definitely, you know, that was a terrible news to hear for us. And then on the bright side, you know, number 19, I really didn't think I'd see him back this year. And to have Josh come back really gave us a huge boost. He stood up in the dressing room, you know, before practice last night and told us why he was there. And with him, you know, there's no question in my mind, but it's only to win. And, you know, he just kind of brought the mentality that we're going to treat every game like a playoff game from here on out. And, you know, can we go 10-3 the rest of the way, or whatever the number might be? Who knows, but can we win, you know, that next game? And that's what we're focusing on, is one game at a time. You hear all the time in sports, but we'll break it down right to one shift at a time. Can we out-compete that guy across from you for one shift and do it again the following shift? And instead of worrying about the end result after 60 minutes, if we do that, shift in and shift out, we hope that we get that first one. And from there, who knows? You know, one can lead to a whole bunch. You know, we had a great season last year. We put a lot of wins together in a row, and with the group we have, there's no reason why we can't do that again.
All right, B, well, thanks a lot for taking some time here, and absolutely some work ahead, but you get a little break here with the bye week, and obviously a big one coming up on February the 14th as this team tries to get back on track. We'll chat again soon, but thanks for stopping by today, B.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot.
That was Brandon Miller, goaltender for the Toronto Rock. It's time for a short break here on the show and a SportsCenter update, but on the other side, we've got Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN, as well as Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction, and immediately following the break, it's Toronto Rock head coach John Lovell. It's all coming up here on Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and before we jump back into things, don't forget the Rock's next home game is Friday, February the 19th, so you've got a bit of time before things get rolling at the ACC again, but why not get ahead of the game and get your hands on some tickets? All you have to do is visit torontorock.com and grab those seats right now for Rivalry Night, presented by Tim Hortons, when the Buffalo Bandits are in town for the first of two visits this year on Friday, February the 19th. Joining us now on the program is the head coach of the Toronto Rock, John Lovell. JL, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Mike. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Obviously, we'll start with, two big topics to talk about this week, the first of which affects your coaching staff, with Dan Latissure being let go. Maybe just kind of put the fans in the head coach's seat here. You know, this is a guy that you picked to be one of your assistant coaches, and now he's let go. What input or role do you have in a move like that? What are the conversations that take place? Maybe just put the fans, again, like I said, in that head coach's seat when something like this goes on, which, you know, it doesn't happen all the time in professional sports.
Well, I mean, I could go back, you know, 2 or 3 years when I went through a pretty exhaustive process of interviewing candidates to become part of this coaching staff, and you know, I picked Dan over a lot of candidates, and I thought it would be it would work well for a team and be a good fit for me going forward. And for the most part, it was. I made a good decision. I think Dan grew as a coach and was a big part of our staff and well-liked by our players. So I don't know so much that this was a decision that I would have made completely by myself. Our general manager and owner is not happy with the way things are going, and he decided that this is the first change that he wanted to make to our team. He didn't like some things that he saw, and so there's the decision. You know, I look in other sports. I look in sports like football and stuff. They're forever firing offensive coordinators when things aren't going well, or defensive coordinators, or special team coordinators, and so on. So I guess if you want a comparison, it's a little bit like that.
Now going forward, earlier on in the show today, Jamie Dowick did refer to the fact that there isn't maybe necessarily a rush to make a move, and he also doesn't see a reason to bring somebody in from the outside at this point to fill the void on the bench left by Latissure. But as you go forward now, and knowing what you know from past experiences, obviously with this team and beyond in your coaching days, how do you see the bench coming together here going forward? And does the role of the next guy on the bench maybe change a little bit, given you know kind of what you guys have been through this season and where you're at right now?
I don't know. I'm not sure where we're going to go with this. Right now, I'm not happy with a lot of aspects of what we're doing, and you know, this is on me. You know, we didn't get better overnight because we let Dan Latissure. If anything, we probably got a little worse. So the responsibility is going to fall on me right now to try to do work with the defense and you know do the best job I know. I've had a lot of experience with working with defense, and you know we have some options to put people on our bench if that's what we want to do. There's lots of good candidates out there, but right now we're going to go forward with the people that we have. We've got good people in the room, and people are familiar with the way we operate and so on, and I don't think that's an issue in any way. So, we've got lots of knowledgeable people in the stands watching our team, and we'll get lots of advice from them too, I'm sure.
We're currently in conversation with Toronto Rock head coach John Lovell, and on the good side of the ledger here, like we talked about earlier on in the show a couple of times already, the return of Josh Sanderson, or the impending return of Josh Sanderson. What's your reaction to having him back? First of all, I guess just around the team and in the dressing room.
Well, Josh has always to me been the ultimate team player. Always made people around him a better player, a great distributor of the ball, always finds a way to compete at the highest level, whether he's 100% or not. He's one of the most courageous players I've seen in terms of going to the difficult areas and playing through adversities and et cetera. So it was a blow to our team when he didn't come back. I think there was a little downer for our group. And, when he walked into the room last night, you could see the same effect, such a positive effect. And, he spoke to the team, given his reasons for stepping back at the time. And it was kind of inspiring just to listen to him. We had a great night of practice, and lots of good things were said, but it's time for us to put these positive practices and positive things that have happened to our team into wins, and that's what we're going to do.
So when you look at things on the floor now, I guess the big question is, how do you fit him in? I mean, last year the offense functioned you know, incredibly well and at a high level. Josh himself putting up over 100 points again, something he had done earlier in his career, but not for some time. How do you fit him back in the lineup? Is there anything drastically different that this team will start to do, or will this almost be business as usual as this guy will step into a group that he's very familiar with?
Well, I hope that he steps into a group that he's familiar with and it'll be business as usual. But, you know, there's no question. We have some roster issues. You know, we've had some injuries in the back end. Our roster is very easy to work with last year in that we had, you know, 12 D guys and 6-0 guys almost for the entire season, with a little bit of change in the back end due to some injuries. And then, you know, with the injury, the only real significant injuries we had last year was, you know, to Robbie Hillier for a few games and Jesse Gamble. But our roster is very easy last year. We had 6-0 guys. We walked them out night after night. You know, now we're trying to infuse some youth into our lineup. And you know, we have two older left shooters there in Josh and Colin. And we want to get Dan Littner and Turner Evans into the lineup. So, it presents some problems here. And in that, yeah, you want to play youth, but you want to win games, and so we're stuck in the middle, and our roster is what it is, and we have to make the most of it. But it certainly, I think, has hurt us a little bit in terms of chemistry, and like I say, the injuries in the back end. Now we're going to have, you know, three or four significant changes in the back end too. So, you know, we're a work in progress, but I know we have some good people there.
Now, looking at things maybe from the loss on Friday night and the fact that the offense woke up, obviously scoring 17 goals, but the goaltending and defense didn't have their best nights. And I don't want to say anything about frustration. It's probably not the right word here at this point. But how do you maybe navigate the road going forward with a team that just hasn't been consistent really from start to finish in any game yet this year? And I guess really the question is here, how do you find that consistency and the ability to put together 60 minutes?
Well, that's always the goal, to have consistent shifts, you know, shift after shift, work hard, you know, try to put it all together. That's always the goal, and you know, we just haven't done it. We've been hurt by, you know, bad runs, and I've given up 6 and 7 and 7 goals at a time at a stretch, and we don't get saves when we need it. Our offense was very inconsistent in the first 4 games of this season, and you know, for the most part, our defense hung in there. But so one game, you know, we gave up 6 power play goals and lost a game. But it's controlling the runs, being focused throughout, not letting plays dictate our mental aspect of this game, and so. You know, it's about putting it all together ourselves, and, you know, certainly a lot of it falls on me.
Now, something else, just to shift gears a little bit before we wrap up here on Tuesday night at practice, you guys had a special guest speaker in, John Davidson, who's been on really a 20-year fundraising and an awareness journey. And maybe you can just talk a little bit about that experience on Tuesday night, just who John Davidson is and kind of what it meant to the guys.
Well, John Davidson was a gentleman I met this summer at a golf tournament in Port Elgin, and I happened to be in his foursome, and he, at the end of the day, he presented me with the book. I read his book, and it's quite inspiring to me. It's called The Right Road, and it was a story about him first pushing his son across Ontario, and then a couple of years later, you know, walking across Canada himself to raise money, you know, for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So I was kind of inspired by his story, and I thought there were some good messages in there. I talked to him on the phone, and he offered to come and talk to the group because that's what he does. And it was better than expected. I think a lot of our guys were very touched by his message, and it's a lot of the same things we talk about ourselves in terms of commitment, and you have each other to lean on, and don't lose sight of your goals and your dreams there. So it was great, and the timing was perfect for it. So I hope it inspires us to better things.
Well, absolutely. I know I had the opportunity to talk to a couple of guys afterwards about the presentation at practice on Tuesday night, and very well received, I think. And like you said, at a very good timing. And you know, while you know, you don't want to make a pun or a cheesy pun here, but as the Toronto Rock try to find the right road themselves, probably came at a very good time. JL, thanks a lot for joining us here on the program, and we'll chat again soon.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, that was John Lovell, the head coach of the Toronto Rock. Still to come, in just a few moments, we'll have Steve Rapp join us on the line. But don't forget, Rivalry Night is coming up on Friday, February the 19th, when the Rock hosts the Buffalo Bandits at Air Canada Centre, and you can get your hands on tickets right now at torontorock.com. Joining me now on the program is Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. Steve, how are things?
Okay, Mike, as I just told you, playing hurt, but that doesn't matter. We're gonna make the best of it.
Bear down. It's a big week here. It's a quiet week, though, a bye week for the Toronto Rock. However, a lot of action on the schedule, as we've got games on Friday and Saturday this weekend of Super Bowl weekend. But Georgia will be at Calgary. Can the Swarm stay hot after a pair of divisional wins last weekend, or will the Roughnecks be able to pick up another win at home here? Who do you got?
Well, you know, the schedule maker is not very friendly to the Roughnecks, scheduling back-to-back games. This second one being against the high-scoring Georgia Swarm. We saw how Georgia can score fast and furiously last week. They put up 20 against the Rock on Friday night. Calgary's going to be playing the defending champion Rush, Saskatchewan, on Friday. Then they have to travel home and play the rest of Swarm. We're going to be sitting in Calgary, warm and toasty, and they're going to be waiting for them. Shane Jackson, Johnny Paulus had 4 goals each for the Swarm, who seemed to be able to find the net on a whim on Friday night. So this is a tough matchup for the 2-2 Roughnecks, you know, who don't score a lot at the best of times, now have to do it while tired against a really rested squad. Georgia's a slight favorite here, but, you know, if we bet that adjusted line laying 1.5 goals, we can take back 20 cents. So, you know, whenever you want to take back money, that's a good thing to do. If you think Georgia wins this game by more than a goal, I would lay 1.5 and take back 20 cents.
Yeah, the Georgia Swarm team, they're having success. Those young guys, I think everybody thought maybe it could take a little while for those guys to gel, all those first-round draft picks that came in this year, but so far, so good. And unfortunately, as we move along here, Colorado, they lose their first game of the season last week, although it was to the defending champion Rush. They travel to Vancouver to take on the Stealth, who have been very up and down this season. And of course, the Stealth will be trying to give their fans at home something to cheer about after not having a ton of success on home floor the last couple of seasons since moving from Washington to Langley to play as the Vancouver Stealth. But, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, who knows who's going to show up. Maybe it's going to be the Stealth who beat the Rush a couple of weeks ago on the road, or maybe it's going to be the team that we've seen at home in Vancouver the first couple of times.
Well, I'm betting it's the team we've seen in Vancouver the last couple of months. It isn't usually as easy as going with the team with the best record in the league against the team with the second worst. But when that best team is coming off its first loss of the season, sometimes it's just that easy. That's what we're going to have here. The league's best Colorado Mammoth, they're 4-1. They're coming into Vancouver to play the 1-3 Stealth with a league-low 38 goals. Other than that surprising win against Saskatchewan that you mentioned, it's been a real struggle for the Stealth. Going up against the wounded league's best is not a good place for them to be right now. Colorado's been beaten down on some good opponents, and last week's loss to the aforementioned Rush will not put them in a mood to fool around with this inferior team. I'm going to take Colorado. I'm going to lay a little bit of juice, -159, and I'm going to take Colorado in this one.
Well, some interesting games on the schedule for sure this weekend. Thanks for stopping by. But I can't let you go without at least getting, you know, we don't need too much detail here, but just a pick in Sunday's big game, the Super Bowl, Denver, Carolina.
Well, just the way John Elway walked away into the sunset in this last Super Bowl, I'm thinking that Peyton Manning brings down some special formula potion, maybe, what he might be using. And I think that Denver will keep this one tight. Their defense is unbelievable. They're going to get to Cam Newton. And I'm going to go for the upset here and take the Sheriff to ride away into the sunset with a Super Bowl win.
Well, there you go. You heard it here. That's the bold prediction. We'll follow up on that one as well next week. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us. And again, we'll chat next week on the show.
My pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, that was Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. This segment is brought to you by Sports Interaction. Betting lines are available on all Rock games as well as major sporting events. Established in 1997 and licensed and regulated in Canada and Jersey, Sports Interaction is a proud sponsor of the Toronto Rock. When we come back on the other side, we'll have Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and, of course, from isleindoor.com. There's more to come on Toronto Rock Total Access right here on TSN 1050.
Now the script's about to kick off. This party looks wet. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and started from scratch. I'm about to bloody this track up, everybody get back. That's why my pin needs a pad, cause my rhymes on the red tag. It's like I did.
Get into a Mitsubishi and drive with confidence this winter. Finance a 2015 RVR for 0% for 84 months, plus get up to $1,000 off. With our 10-year powertrain limited warranty, you'll enjoy the RVR for years to come. On approved credit, conditions apply. Go to gtamitsubishi.ca for details or visit your Toronto area Mitsubishi dealers. Proud sponsors of the Toronto Rock. Mitsubishi, built better, backed better. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. A week off here, but of course it's a home game sooner than we all realize. February the 19th, a Friday night, the Rock are back in action on home floor. It's Rivalry Night presented by Tim Hortons. You can get your tickets now at torontorock.com. Jumping back into things on a very eventful bye week episode of the show here. We now have Brian Shanahan from Isle Indoor and the NLL on TSN. Shanny, how are you doing?
Not too bad, Mike. How about you?
Not too bad. Tons of stuff to talk about here. Let's start off with the coaching change. Dan Latissure has let go. What's your take?
Well, manager, James, and owner Jamie Dolan, I mean, he said he's not pinning this on Dan Latissure, and you can't because, there were a lot of problems became evident with the Rock in the first few weeks. The offense was, I think, the most obvious one. And that's why I guess some people are questioning because Dan Latissure was in charge of the defense. But, they had to make some kind of a change. And even though the offense, it was obvious how poorly they were playing the first few weeks, I would agree that the defense wasn't playing well either. And, so they had to make some sort of changes. Sometimes these changes are made in terms of, what management feels is best for the chemistry or coaching chemistry of the team. And, I hate to see a good guy like Dan Latissure let go, but, it's the nature of the business. I'm sure he'll get a job coaching again sooner or later. I know he's got a lot of history with McKinnon in Saskatchewan, not to say that he's going there, but he'll be back sooner or later. And I think, the Rock had to make some kind of a move. Who knows? And I don't think anybody's suggesting this is the solution or that was the problem. But it is, one thing that, Dolan decided to change.
Now, the other big storyline obviously developed fairly late in the evening on Tuesday night, but Josh Sanderson was back on the floor for practice after not being around the team at all, really, through training camp and not at all completely through the first part of the regular season. How do you think this is going to play out here with Josh Sanderson coming back? He's missed some time, obviously, but he feels like he's in good shape. How do you fit him back in the lineup here now? I mean, the Rock were already sitting out a lefty in Turner Evans in the most recent game, and now you've got Josh Sanderson in, so you've got to take somebody else out, potentially, out of the lineup as well, and that'll keep another young guy out, too. So an interesting situation, sure coming down the pipe here for Coach Lovell.
No, you're absolutely right, but you have to squeeze him in. And I would bet they're probably going to go with seven guys on the offense. I know, most of the time the Rock has, I think, been happiest going with six guys on offense, 10 guys on defense, or 6 and 9, sorry. What's the numbers? Is it 15 or 16 now?
16 guys. So 7 and 9 or 6 and 10 has kind of been the debate.
6 and 10, I think, has been their happy numbers, but they're going to go 7 and 9, I think, because they got to fit in Josh Sanderson. And I don't know if there's another lefty that they want to take out right now. And you mentioned Evans is already out, sitting out. I can't see another lefty that they would take out right now. So I think they're going to go 4 lefties, 3 righties. So that means they're going to have to take out one of the righties. But you have to make room for Josh Sanderson. I think it's great for the Rock that he's coming back. I don't think it's necessarily the silver bullet that's going to solve all their problems. But with a guy as smart as Josh Sanderson has put up the numbers he had his whole career,
you want him in the offense helping to run that offense. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. He's never really relied on, well, he's never relied on size, and he's never really relied on speed. He's always played on smarts. So, what we've seen in recent years is, age hasn't affected him a lot, because you can't say, well, he slowed down. Well, he was never a really quick guy. He's just the guy who played with smart. So I'd be careful not to get too excited that, it's going to cure all woes on offense. But I do think it'll help the offense. And with him in the lineup, they always move the ball quickly, and I think that's one of the things they have to do. But in terms of numbers, I think they're going to go with seven guys in offense. And I think it's going to be one of the righties who's going to be moved out.
We're currently in conversation with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and islindoor.com. Shani, let's talk a little bit about your power rankings here. Colorado stays at number one despite losing to Saskatchewan. Why did you decide to keep those guys at the top?
Well, they've got the best record in the NLL, 4-1, and the next best team is 3-1. And, I think everybody seems to have that feeling that, it's going to be Saskatchewan will be the best team. At the end of the year, they'll be top the power rankings and, top the league. And they probably will be. I feel that too. But they haven't earned the right to be there yet, even though they knocked off the Mammoth last week. And right now, Saskatchewan's 2-1. They have not looked dominant. They've looked good at times, but they've also, in every one of their games, they've been off to shaky start. So despite the fact that they beat the Colorado Mammoth, remember, that's a road game for the Mammoth. That's their first loss of the year. It was a good game. It could have gone either way. So I think right now, Mammoth has the best record. No one's, too close. And so I think, they deserve to stay in that spot. But they've got a tough week coming up. I think they're playing they're going to be playing Saskatchewan again and Calgary on the same weekend. So that'll tell the tale for them.
As we circle back to the Rock here, a week off, and it's simple to say that the Rock are really, they're right in the midst of the must-win territory. But have you kind of thought about it, mapped out what you think maybe the magic number is going to be in terms of wins in order to get the Rock into the playoffs? Because, at 0-5, there's definitely a pretty serious hole to dig out of here.
No, absolutely. I mean, I haven't really looked at the games and figured out where these guys will be if Toronto turns it up a notch. But I still think you got to be at least 500 to make the playoffs. So that means 9 wins. So, 9 wins, they've already played 5 games. So 9 wins in their last 13 is not easy. That's not... that's just my gut feeling. There would have to be about 9 wins because, you'd be beating some of the teams you have to beat to get there. You're going to have to get some wins against Rochester, some wins against Buffalo and New England as well to get there. So I think it's got to be 9 wins. So they got their work cut out for them to do it. And you're going to hope that some of the other teams struggle along the way. But the Rock can't concern themselves with that right now. Really, the only game that's important for them is the next game. They've got to win that game against New England and, start to turn this around. And I think it's going to help, too, that, they're getting guys back from injuries on the defensive end, and that will help. They've got to get a little healthier back there, and hopefully the offense, which performed last game, 17 goals, hopefully they can keep something going, and Josh Sanderson will help.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more there, Shani, especially on the that magic 9 win number. I think is going to be that spot where the Rock are going to have to get to. Thanks a lot for joining us on the show today, Shani, and we'll talk again next week.
Okay, excellent. Thanks very much, Mike. Take care.
All right, that was Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IsleIndoor.com. Now, before we wrap things up here on Toronto Rock Total Access, I have to remind everybody once again about the Rock's next home game on Friday, February the 19th against the Buffalo Bandits. It is Rivalry Night presented by Tim Hortons, and every time the Bandits and Rock get together, folks, it's just a ton of fun. You want to get your tickets now, and you can do that at TorontoRock.com. Also, don't forget that after every Rock home game, you can join the Rock players and cheerleaders at Shoeless Joe's at 276 King Street West. It's the home of the Molson Canadian Toronto Rock postgame party for this season. Shoeless Joe's is located at the corner of King Street West and Duncan Street. Rock fans can head to Shoeless Joe's before each and every game and get 15% off their meal. It's also your chance to meet the Rock players and cheerleaders and, of course, enjoy an ice-cold Molson Canadian at the postgame party. Thanks to my guests on this week's show, John Lovell, Jamie Dowick, Steve Rapp, Brandon Miller, and Brian Shanahan. In the meantime and in between time, this has been another edition of Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and we'll chat next week.
You've been listening to Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. For the best ticket in town, visit torontorock.com and be sure to follow The Rock on Twitter at Toronto Rock LAX. Stop the rock.